Praise the Lord. Hey, Brother Ross. After an introduction like that, I can't wait to hear what I'm going to say. Glory to God. Amen. Oh, me. Well, it's a joy to be back here. And it's always a thrill to be in this church. You know, you think sometimes that really, you know, a smaller church, they don't have a whole lot to offer. But I want to tell you, folks, it's not, and I say this, and I don't have any problem saying it, it's not the big churches in this country that's getting the job done. It's groups just like this and churches just like this. And so I just praise the Lord for the opportunity to be here and see Brother Ross and his good wife and several people. When I walked through the door, they walked through the door this morning and said, "Brother Bragg, we're praying for your health." And it's kind of like my doctor, you know, when he says, you know, "Well, for somebody your age, you're not doing so bad." I hate that. I really do. But I'm doing fine. I have a cataract surgery coming up a week after next. And I told my wife, I said, "You know, when I get all these body parts changed, I'll be good for another 40 years." And I'm not sure about that, but... Anyway, this morning in Sunday school, I don't know how much preaching I'll get done in Sunday school. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Now, today, and I'm going to admit this, and you're going to say, "Well, you just don't know your Bible." And that may be true. But the other night, a dear friend at our church gave me a brand new German Shepherd puppy. Well, it's 9 months old. And night before last, I come as close to killing my first dog. I was doing good. I was helping a missionary unload her vehicle. They were staying with us. And I laid my Bible on the windowsill, the one that I preach out of all the time. I've never tried preaching out of another one for the last 12 years. Donna came in an hour later, and she had this pile. You ever had this happen, Brother Ross? I'm going to tell you what. And I got this brand new Bible this morning. I can't find anything. And so I said, "Where's my gun? I'm going to kill that dog." Oh, me. But anyway, let me catch you up to speed on just what's happening across Africa. And he talked about Canada, and I asked him if he'd been to Faithway up there with Brother Baker. I think if I had a kid going to college right now, I'd send him to Faithway Baptist with Brother Baker up there. It's a great school. But there's a lot happening up there, and I'm not familiar with Mexico. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot happening across Africa. Last month I was in Africa most of the month, and South Africa, and kind of broke my heart on the way home, along with everything else, because I was 24 hours inside a plane to get home. And I'll tell you what, when you can't pull down the window or anything else, for an old man it's kind of hard. But I went up to the country of Namibia. Most people never heard of Namibia. And we had our field conference and everything in South Africa and met with the missionaries and just had a great time of fellowship and preaching and just everything. Went all over the country. South Africa, some of you ought to go with me sometime. They have better roads than we have here in the United States. They have gold and diamonds and everything. It's one of the wealthiest places I've ever been in my life, along with being one of the most beautiful. But I wanted to go to a country where we had no representation and just make a survey trip to see what's going on in this country. When I'd go to South Africa in years past, I would always touch down in Windhoek, Namibia, and I'd look at things over, and of course it's famous for, it's just a big desert country basically, and I wondered all these years what's going on there. Well, we flew up there, and there's one independent Baptist church, missionary, for the whole country. For the whole country. He told me, Brother Bragg, you gotta see this city up north. So we drove 3 hours north. The Afrikaner people, that's the white race there, they're from German and Dutch background, and they pretty much control and run everything, and that's why it's so prosperous. But along with that, they're very well educated. They're snooty. I mean, they're just an upper, very high class people that they just won't hardly talk to anyone. And we drove 3 hours north to this city of 30,000 people, and not one Baptist church of any kind in that city. And the government officials there came down to meet us and took us in their vehicle. They just rolled out the red carpet for us. And I was just amazed and shocked that these people that you can't hardly get, they just won't hardly even talk to you. And they took us out to four pieces of property on paved roads that were zoned for churches. And they said, no one's ever claimed this property. And you can have it today if you want it. Now, folks, that's the kind of opportunities. We're not interested in going in a lot of places where there's hundreds of other missionaries and lots of churches. When you've got a place like that that has no one, I'm telling you what. Some of you wild game eaters, boy, I'll tell you what. I was about from here to that door, a big pride of lions. I mean, they had everything up there. And one day for a meal, I had this big steak. And I said, what is this? You know, I asked the lady, what is it? Oryx, whatever that is. It's that antelope that's got those big long horns. I'm telling you what, it's one of the best things I've ever eaten. So you fellas, if you want to come over and go with me sometime, but go with the idea of maybe staying. You can get by in English there, but it's just an opportunity. Now, there's 52 countries, basically, in Africa, depending on where they've had a coup yesterday or not. It might be 53 today, but there's 52 countries in Africa, and we're only represented in 13. That does not mean that there's not good independent fundamental works going on in some of these countries. But I'm just saying there's a world of opportunity out there, and we need some young men and some church planters that have just a little bit of that pioneer spirit to go into some of these places. And one of the things, Brother Ross, that just bothers me to no end, and it's still going on. I probably shared it with you last time I was here, but it's still happening. We're having all kinds of young ladies that are surrendering and wanting to come with a mission and work in the orphanage in Uganda, and that thing is just going wonderful. In 1 month's time, I had about 15 applications or just wanting information about going to Africa as a missionary. 14 out of the 15 were young ladies. I'm telling you what, I don't know what's going on. It bothers me, you young men, that get the idea that I got to go into the business world or I've got to do something like that, and serving the Lord is, you know, that's just not my cup of tea. Hey, come and go with me sometime and see if you don't get excited about what's going on over there. And lots of people getting saved and churches being built. Well, right now we have 112 missionaries in those 13 countries. And this last year, we have a total of 231 churches. And that's exciting. That's what your faith promise is doing across Africa. But last year, we had 16 new churches started. That's what really gets me excited. And, you know, to walk out into a bare field and have a young African pastor say, well, the church is going to be right there, and the dispensary is going to be right there, and the Christian school is going to be right there, and it's nothing but briars and weeds. and to go back 2 years later and it's there. It's there. And it's all because some people like you band together across this country and put that money in that little envelope, and that's getting the job done. And Africa, I'm telling you, it's an exciting place. And South Africa, so many things are going there. The missionaries have really had a problem getting in to the Afrikaner people, the white race people. Jeff Demarest, I flew down to Durban, probably one of the most, right on the Indian Ocean, probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen in my life. Thousands of acres of farmland, cows. You think you're in Montana 1 minute, and then you think you're in the Smokies the next minute. And it's just a beautiful place. But what was really exciting to me was on Sunday morning, in this school that they rent on Sundays, here's 47 of those Afrikaner people in service, hearing the Word of God. And we went out to the home of this one couple, Italian couple, just got saved just a few months ago. I don't know when I've been around a couple that had just gotten saved that were as excited as they were. And folks, that's what it's all about. And old Jeff Demarest, he's just a big old guy that just loves people. And he got into those people, and they found out that he did care about them. And some of them were really leery of him because the last pastor or two had really hurt the church and hurt those people, and they had to leave and start on their own. And so he's just doing a wonderful job. And that's what's going on. The 16 new churches this year. Even more exciting than that is when I, every year we have to make this report, because we want to know and to be able to tell you what's going on in Africa. 9,130 professions of faith across Africa. I'm telling you what. And then I see another exciting thing is when I see 430 of those Africans in Bible colleges built with your money. Amen. I'll tell you what, it'll make a Presbyterian shout. It really will. And, you know, over 400 students studying. We had the coup, Brother Ross, there in Ivory Coast 2 or 3 years ago, and all of our missionaries are back now. But they said during that coup, the missionaries would call the guys that were carrying on the work, and they'd call me, and they'd say, "Boy, Brother Bragg, it's kind of discouraging." Said, "Those churches and those guys that we trained, they're doing better than we ever did." Amen. And those churches, and one of them had just called one of the missionaries and said, they're starting a new church out in this other area. And here's nationals that's been trained in a Bible school, and they're out there reaching their own people. And this is our philosophy. I'm just going to tell you, bringing them back to America is not the answer. Bringing them back here is not the answer, because they get used to carpeted floors and air conditioning and a lot of money. Because it seems like when you go into a church these days, if you're a national, the churches will unload the treasury on those nationals. Well, this is a product of missions. You get them back over on the field and try to make them accountable. And hey, I'll tell you what, train them on the field. That's our philosophy. And I'm not other people can do what they want to do, but this is what works. This is what works. And we have I don't know if you've heard of Rick Martin or not, in the Philippines. I don't know. I think they said he's responsible for about 500 churches in the last 30-some years. But now he is sending his Filipino pastors all over the world as missionaries. No support from the United States. All of it is coming from churches that have been planted in the Philippines, and now they're sending their own people back to the mission field. Glory to God, folks, that's what it's all about. Now we have a young man in Uganda, in Lira, just a few miles from our orphanage, about 45 miles. And he's been there, he's on his second term now, into the middle of his second term, and he's running almost 1,000. I mean, it's just incredible. It's just incredible what God's doing through Rick Martin and getting these Filipino pastors that's used to toughing it out and getting them to Africa and Brazil and all over the world, doing just exactly what you are doing here and getting the gospel around the world. And doing it and supporting their own missionaries, it's exciting. And I'll tell you what, God is working in a way that just absolutely incredible. I don't know what else I can say about that except that I just appreciate your support so much. That trip last month, as hard as it is to make these long trips, it was just such a blessing and such an encouragement to the missionaries for us to be there. And one missionary had been very, very deathly sick for almost a year, and he picked us up at the airport. And it was just a joy to see Roger McCrum. He's been there 34 years. Been there 34 years. And let me share this with you. It broke my heart, for one thing. We had a large church out on the East Coast. Roger's son is now on the field. And so during his sickness, the son kind of took the responsibilities of the church because of his sickness. Well, now we've got lots of new missionaries coming over there, and Roger feels like his son's doing such a good job with the church that he's going to help some of these new missionaries get churches started. He's got 34 years of experience to do that. I got a letter the other day from this church that has supported him $100 a month for over 20 years and said, now that you're not a church planter, we're not going to support you. And he's still on the field. He didn't come home. He's on the field. I'm telling you, that kind of thing just kind of tears my heart out. Because here's a man that's proved himself over many, many years. But, you know, that's the church policy. That's what they thought it was. That's what they understood that they wanted to do. So I'm not going to fight with that. But I just hate it when we get that kind of a feeling that now we've got a man with 34 years that's training nationals in a Bible school, and yet he's not worthy of our support anymore. And so you pray for Roger McCrum. I'll tell you what, he's a great missionary. Now, since I've got this time, and I know that I'm not supposed to say much about money, I'm telling you, I just found something recently that just blessed my heart. And you know, I am so opposed to this prosperity gospel group. You know, the guys on TV, Brother Ross, when years ago I used to listen to a man, Brother Ross might know who it is, on the radio by the name of Reverend Ike. You ever heard of Reverend Ike? His philosophy, this is what he said. He said, you can't lose with the stuff I use. And he said, the root of all evil is the lack of money. And I used to listen to him going to church, and Donna would sit there, why do you listen to him? She'd get so mad at me. I said, this is my entertainment for the day. Well, you know, we've kind of bought into some of that, in that we shy away from talking about money because of those rascals like that, that all they're doing is bleeding the churches dry of all the funds that they've got. And then I hear this in Baptist churches, well, you preachers, all you do is talk about money. I mean, when we spend more money on bubble gum than we do on missions. And I really like that thing about the antidepressants, and I can't remember how many millions of dollars a year for antidepressants for dogs. I've got an antidepressant I about used the other night on that dog I had. It's called a 357 Magnum. That's what it's called. But we kind of shy away from what God has for us when we just, because of somebody else, you know, well, we're going to stay away from that. But in the book of Philippians, and I wasn't going to do this, but it just, with my time and with catching you up on what's going on in Africa, I'll just do this. Philippians 4:19. And probably tonight I'm going to preach on this again, but not on the money aspect, because you'll get enough right here to last you for the next month or so. But really, I'm just going to share a blessing with you and something that I think may help somebody here. We quote that verse, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God is going to supply our needs. And we Baptists, we quote that verse and we stop right there. We stop right there. And he certainly is. For the last 35 years on the mission field, the Lord has supplied our needs. He's going to continue to supply. Somebody asked me the other day when I was going to retire. And I said, well, some night when I'm up preaching and I drop dead, that's when I'm going to quit. I'll pack it in right then. Now, I want you to turn just for a moment to 2 Corinthians. And you've heard many sermons from Dr. Ross on this. But I'm gonna hit something here a little bit different. We know that he's going to supply our needs, right? I mean, that's a Bible verse. You believe that? Okay, now what about your wants? What about your wants? Now, I'm not talking, I was telling one of the men out there, some of you younger folk, you know what Lamborghini is? Those hot $200,000 or $300,000 sports cars. Do you know what I saw lined up for a block in South Africa? Was Lamborghini tractors. Glory to God. I said, if I could ever buy one of those, Brother Ross, and bring it back to the States, I'd be the envy of all the farmers across America. I didn't know they made such a thing. They had them lined up for a whole block. Lamborghini tractors. I don't know how fast they'd run, whether they'd keep up with a John Deere or not, but hey, I want to tell you something. Now I want you to look at 2 Corinthians. And I haven't done all my coloring and all my marking in this Bible. Chapter 9, and look at verse 12. Let's just start at verse 8 because that's my favorite verse and I'm going to use it all day today. Verse 8 in chapter 9 says, "And God is able." Now that is a Bible verse. You believe that verse?
Yes,
say amen. "To make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." Now that's what it says. Now look at verse 12, and let's look at verse 11. "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God." These three chapters, 8, 9, and 10, is talking about the grace of giving. The grace of giving. And I say it takes the grace of God for Baptists to give. But hey, I mean, you've taken good care of me for 35 years, and I don't look for it to stop. God's taken good care of me through you. But now I want you to look at that verse 12, because you're not going to believe, you're going to say this is not the right translation. "For the administration of this service not only supplieth the what? Want of the who? Saints. But is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God." Your needs are going to be met. Your needs are going to be met. Now, there's a key to all this happening. There's a key to it all happening. Your needs are going to be met. Your wants are going to be met. What do you want this morning? You see, that verse, and I've told you this before, that verse in Philippians is basically talking to the corporate body of the local church. And he's saying, because you've taken care of the needs of Paul there in jail through Epaphroditus, I am going to take care of the needs of the church. Glory to God. I pulled in here yesterday, see that new building going up? There's some exciting things going on in Jasonville, Indiana. Hallelujah. And we can praise God for that. Crossroads Baptist Church down in Carthage, and I told you about starting that little work there in our living room. And now every Sunday we're seeing 250. We've been through three building programs, and now we need to build again. Just getting people saved and running those buses. And hey, I want to tell you something. I quoted that verse. God will supply my... when I pulled into the gas station yesterday. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, now that van that used to take $17 to fill up is taking $45 and $50 to fill up. But I told the pastor this morning, I said, are we going to quit doing what we're doing because it's getting expensive? Or are we going to keep on keeping on for God and watch Him supply our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? And I know I've told you this all. Repetition is learning. I have a few cows. And the kids, somebody there in the church gave all the kids a cow. And when Hannah got to school, you know, she'd call me and she'd say, Dad, the Bible says that he's got cattle on 1,000 hills. And I said, that's right. And she said, sell my cow. I need money. Amen. And so we sold the cow. But now, wait a minute. Our wants even can be supplied by Almighty God, and we don't have to hunker down and be ashamed of how God is blessing. Right. Now, you say, well, how's that possible? Psalm 37, let's go there. And this is something I didn't plan on doing this morning, but this is working out good, I think. Amen. I like it. I was just looking at this morning. Psalm 37, I can't even see it, let alone find it. Amen. Getting old, folks, is not for wimps, I'm going to tell you right now. It's not for sissies. Now look at chapter 37 and verse 1. Fret not thyself. Don't worry about it. Do we ever worry about anything? I opted out of Social Security. They said, when are you going to retire? I opted out of Social Security. Every dime that we received over there in Africa, we put into the work. And to think that God would take care of me for 35 years and not take care of me now is kind of ludicrous, I think. But I do think about it now that I'm getting, you know, down to the wire. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. I like that word fret because it's used several times in this chapter. Now it says, fret not, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Now here's the conditions for these blessings. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Glory to God, I like that fed part. Amen. Amen. The Townsley said they're going to have us for dinner, and she's got to go buy after the chicken and all that stuff. Amen. Amen. I'll wait on her. Now it says, fret not, trust in verse 3. Now verse 4, delight. Delight. When's the last time you really got excited about something God was doing that you couldn't figure out how it was getting done? It wasn't a good administrator. It wasn't a good pastor. It wasn't a good Sunday school teacher. But something's going on that God is solely responsible for. Hallelujah. Amen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee what? The desires of thine heart. Now really, is that in the Bible? Did He really mean that when He said that? I think He did. Well then, what are we down in the mouth about? When we know that we're going to get our needs met, and we're going to get our wants met, and now He says we can have the desires of our heart. But now look at this. We've got to fret not. We've got to trust. We've got to delight ourselves in the Lord. Now, run down to verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He, God, delighteth in his way. Now, what's this saying? When we delight in what God delights about, then God delights in us. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. When you're standing in harm's way, when you've got a mountain of a problem in front of you, maybe tomorrow morning at your workplace, when you walk in and you know that you're walking with him and he delights in you and you delight in him, it'll make a bad day a good day. Amen. There are conditions to God's blessings. And this is one of them. When we delight in him, and the steps of a good man are ordered to the Lord. He knows the steps that you need to take tomorrow morning. But now look at this. Then he says, commit. And I'm going to preach about commitment this morning in the morning hour. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall, what? Bring it to pass. And then he says in verse 7, rest. Rest. Before I came up here, 1 o'clock in the morning, a call from a missionary in Africa, and that missionary's heart was broken. And I talked to him to 1 o'clock in the morning before I got in the car and drove up here. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's some heartaches out there, and there's some. But I'm just saying to you, when we delight and we commit thy way unto him, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I know your pastor sitting here this morning, back through all these, how many years did you pastor this church? Long time, but preaching a lot longer than that. And I'm sure he could fill probably 2 books with all of the difficulties that he's had to face in the ministry over all these years. And what in the world keeps us going? What in the world keeps us going? What's going to keep you going? When it seems like that there's nothing for you, that even your friends and your family, everybody has turned against you, what's going to keep you going? We've got to delight ourselves in the Lord. And then we've got to trust him with whatever he's going to do, because he is a sovereign God that cares about what goes on. And then we've got to rest in the Lord and wait patiently. And then it says, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not. This missionary was angry. He was angry because things were not going his way. Hey, I want to tell you, there are a lot of angry people around the world. And what's going to change their direction? It's going to be someone that's excited about what God's doing. And you know, I can't help but think about old B.R. Lakin, and I've used his stories here before, I know. But he just said, when I get old and grumpy and everything, he said, I just want to be so sweet in Jesus that when somebody slaps me on the back, they get honey all over their hands. And you know, really, we've got to be, I don't want to get old and grumpy and mean-spirited in my old age. Why? Because I got some kids and some young people and some grandkids. They're looking at granddad. And, you know, I know Brother Ross, he's same way. There's some young people right in this room that need to see some old people that's not ready for the grave yet. I told the dear lady I preach on Back Row Baptist, but I give her a way out this morning with her walker. But hey, folks, I want to tell you something. We've got to be sweet in the Lord. And when God is meeting our needs and he's meeting our wants and meeting our desires, I don't even want to I don't even want to deal with that verse, desires. Boy, I mean, we think about things, but the thing of it is, though all those things that he wants to do, it's conditional on whether we're delighting in him or not. But he wants to. He wants to. I rode down to Durban with Jeff Demarest, and his car had blown up. The motor had gone out of it, and he needed a lot of money to fix that. And somebody had loaned him a car to make that seven-hour trip, round trip, 7 hours each way to bring us down there. And I say, you couldn't see the air in the tires. That'd be a little dumb to say that, but it was almost that bad. And here we're going on highways, wonderful highways at 75 miles an hour. Not much of any speed limits down there. It's kind of like the German Autobahn. I mean, they just fly. And he said, boy, they drive fast here, Ron. He said, you just have to get used to it. And I said, yeah, but all I'm seeing going by me is Audis and Saabs and Mercedes and BMWs. And they've all got new tires. I said, this thing you're driving. And so we got home, and I called a few people and sent him $800 to buy some new tires. Amen. God is going to take care of us, folks. But now, don't get down in the mouth about your situation when God plainly tells us here what he's going to do if we'll just delight in him. And that's the key. Delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Hey, the Pentecostals, these other groups, they don't have all the corners on what God's doing. Let's delight and trust him and know that he's going to take care of us. Good to be here again. It's exactly 25 after, and I've never finished on time in my life, so the pastor will be proud of me. And what it really is, that blue mark over in another passage in my other Bible, I can't remember where it's at, and I can't find it or I'd go on. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful spring day that you've given us the opportunity to come to a good Bible-preaching church. Thank you, Lord, for these dear people. Thank you for their faithfulness over so many years in supporting their missionaries and getting the gospel out. And Lord, I just pray that you'll give them not only their needs and their wants, but the desires of their hearts. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.